overnight, Israel has carried out airstrikes against Iran, a retaliation for last weekend's drone attack on Israel, and this the third in the escalating tit-for-tat conflict between Israel and Iran. Details are still sketchy. Just before we came on air, our Washington correspondent Sean Whelan gave me the latest.
The US government is confirming that Israel did launch a strike against Iran. It seems to have been concentrated in the area around Isfahan, a major city in west central Iran. In that area, there is a nuclear research site owned by the Iranian government at around Natanz. It's been attacked previously by Israel. The area is heavily defended by air defense systems. The Israelis have been saying that they targeted a military base. They did not target any nuclear facility. The Iranians themselves, Iranian media reporting that a lot of the explosions that people in the area were hearing were in fact their own air defense systems shooting down what they describe as a drone attack. So we have the Iranians describing it as a drone, the Israelis describing it as a missile, also the Americans describing it as a missile. It seems to be fairly limited sort of an attack, either one or three warheads involved in it. The Americans say they had been told by the Israelis in the course of two meetings yesterday that they were intending to launch an attack against Iran. It will be limited and the attack could come anytime in the next several days, but it obviously occurred much, much earlier than the Americans had been led to believe.
And the question now, what Iran does next?
Exactly. Strangely enough, only about 6 or 7 hours ago, the Iranian foreign minister, who's in New York at the moment, was interviewed on CNN about the increased chatter around the likelihood of an Israeli attack in retaliation for the drone and missile strikes against Israel that Iran launched last weekend. And that foreign minister said that there would be an immediate and maximum response to any Israeli attack and that the Israelis would regret launching any such attack. He described last weekend's attack, which involved 300 missiles and drones, as being at the minimal end of what the Iranians considered was acceptable for them to do in the wake of the previous weekend's Israeli attack on an Iranian consulate in Syria, in which two Revolutionary Guard generals were killed and five other people were killed. The Iranians very upset about that, saying it's completely outrageous to attack a diplomatic mission and that they had to do something in response. But if Israel launched an attack, there would be what they call this immediate and maximum level response. And now, of course, we have to see what that actually means in reality.
Indeed. And in the context of all of this, tell us more about this U-turn by Speaker Johnson in Congress and a critical vote that's likely to take place tomorrow.
Yeah, this is the long delayed aid packages, foreign aid packages, which President Biden has been requesting since last autumn. And really, they got shunted into a sideline last October during the political shafting of the then Speaker of the House of Representatives, Kevin McCarthy. Since then, no progress has been made at all on these foreign aid packages, one of which is to Israel. It's a fairly substantial amount of money. The biggest chunk, of course, is $60 billion for Ukraine. And that is absolutely critical money. Most of that to replenish the depleted stocks of munitions in particular that the Ukrainian army have been relying on to try and stem what is now turning into be an increasingly large scale Russian advance in the east of the country. Also $14 billion in there for new kit, high technology weapons, which the Americans have been promising since last year, but obviously have not been able to deliver on this. But the trigger point for this U-turn, as you describe it, of Speaker Johnson was indeed that attack on Israel last weekend by the Iranians involving 170 drones, 30 cruise missiles and 120 ballistic missiles. That really was the opening for the Speaker to abandon his own long-running opposition to aid to Ukraine in particular, but also to stand against his own party, a faction of which has been resolutely opposed to sending money to Ukraine. That is not the view shared by many other members of the Republican Party in the House of Representatives, and is certainly not the view shared by the Democratic Party members, or at least the vast majority of them. So what we're going to see now is a very unusual situation in which the opposition party, if you like, the minority, the Democrat Party, are going to provide the bulk of the votes that will get this measure through, and that the ruling party, the Republicans, are going to be split on the issue. We don't know yet exactly how big the split is going to be there, but there will be enough votes in the House as a whole to get this money approved and get that aid flowing to Ukraine in particular, but also to Israel and Taiwan. There will be also another curious mix'em gather'em bill, which includes a provision to force a sale of the social media platform TikTok. That's something which is designed to try and lure in as many Republican votes as possible. And against all of that, it now looks like Speaker Johnson has put his own speakership on the line here, because a motion is being moved against him by one of his own members, Marjorie Taylor Greene, who wants to kick him out, having moved the motion way back last September to get rid of the previous speaker, Kevin McCarthy. So the Republican Party in the House of Representatives is at war with itself and is trying to supply weapons of war to other countries that are allied to the United States at the same time.
Meanwhile, in New York, it looks as though we have a jury, do we, in the Donald Trump trial?
Just about have a jury, yes. There are 12 members of the jury have now been seated, as they call it, and one alternate member, a substitute, if you like, has been sworn in as well. But they need to have six substitutes. It's an unusually large number of substitutes or alternatives for a trial. But that's because they're worried about jury members having to drop out either through illness or possibly through intimidation or being identified. And in fact, they lost one of the jury members yesterday because she was very worried about being identified. She said a number of her friends and family members had been able to identify her from the relatively small amount of information that had been published in the media. But a lot of these jury members have been coming under a lot of scrutiny for three nights in a row now. One program on Fox News has been running through a lot of detail on the jury members. Another jury member was also asked to leave the trial because it had turned out that he hadn't been wholly open about a previous summons to a court, which involved tearing down or defacing some conservative posters. And it looked at one point yesterday afternoon as if they wouldn't get a jury together. But now they do have 12 citizens, 7 men, 5 women, lined up. It's just a question now of getting those alternate members in place. And if they do get that 5 people in place early enough today, then there's a possibility that the actual criminal trial of Donald Trump might start on Monday.
And so it begins. Our Washington correspondent, Sean Whelan, there.